The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 47 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's synods or science, apostolate synapse, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello, I'm Lindsay Sands and welcome to episode 47, our last episode of 2020 of The Catholics of Oz. Thank you so much for joining us. This episode will be coming out just a couple of days before Christmas, so how exciting. I hope your preparations for Christmas are going well. Hope your Christmas tree is up. It's actually December the 12th at the moment, and my tree is not up yet, so I'll have to get to that as quickly as I can. But before I go on, I'd love to welcome, for the last time this year, Caroline Knight. I'm going to make fun of your background today. Caroline's got this, I don't even know what they are, just my...
Bungee worms.
My bungee worm.
Spongy.
Colourful sister, yeah. I don't know, yeah. I've got nothing. Caroline, how are you today?
I don't know. I picked it from the Skype background. Don't blame me. Blame Skype.
Yeah. Now, so you were looking for something Christmassy and then you just went with bungee worms that are really colourful.
Well, because it's colourful and they're cute and weird. Anyway.
Merry Christmas, folks. Yeah. And if you can hear that laugh, that's Lino Sabol. Lino, how are you going, my friend?
I'm... dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm doing very well, Lizzie. How is everyone?
Going really well now that you've thrown some song into that. Yeah,
you brought the tone into a better place.
Well, yes. It must be. Beautiful. It's not really a white Christmas here in Australia for most of us.
It's a burning summer. It's a bright summer, Christmas, though.
Burning sun coming down here, wearing a lot of suntan. And
nice day
and
today.
Very nice. A nice day.
It's an awesome day today.
Yeah, Christmas is red for us, all that sunburn and it's pretty much,
But, you know, for us Australians, we don't mind it. We get you. It's awesome. Yeah.
I like a warm Christmas.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I would like to have a snowy Christmas just to try it out one day.
Yeah.
Although I don't like the cold.
Oh, it can be very icy. Very icy.
Sorry, Scrooge. All right. That's fine. I don't like the cold.
Wow.
I hate Christmas.
I don't like the cold. Yes. That's why you should have. You should make customized Christmas cards with you looking crumpy. On the front just says, I don't like the cold. Merry Christmas.
Got a new Christmas story plot right there.
Yeah. There we go.
I think we have a grumpy cat already. I think we'll just keep it there, okay, guys? Caroline's a very nice woman, okay?
It's been done. Although, I mean, you know, Caroline's grumpy Christmas would be great on Frankie and Harry's bookshelf. next book release, Caroline.
Caroline's grumpy Christmas. I love it.
Oh, no.
I'd like to just tell the people who are listening, because they're probably going, what on earth is going on right now?
Exactly. Yeah, sorry.
We're acting like it is a few days from Christmas. On Christmas Day, it gets worse when the family's together.
You don't want to be in our family.
The sibling sledging. We should have prepared some bonbon jokes. No, we shouldn't. We don't want to lose listeners.
No,
all right, let's move on.
No. Let's spare them that.
Okay, so let's move on. I just want to remind everyone, as you're listening to whatever it is that you're listening to right now, to whatever's going on, to remember to like The Catholics of Oz when it's posted on the SQPN Facebook page. So just show us some love. Don't forget to retweet and share our episodes on Twitter or any other social networks that you use. And leave us comments. Let us know what you think. Send us emails. We get a couple of those from time to time and we love them. And also, please remember to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast app. Don't forget that SQPN puts all of its shows on YouTube as well. So just search SQPN on YouTube and you can hit the bell to get notifications whenever new shows, such as The Catholics of Oz, are released, including this very last one for the year. Also, don't forget, please, to leave us feedback on your favorite podcast directory. So a lovely 5-star review, maybe an encouraging comment here or there. It helps us to grow our community and reach more people. And as we always say, this is what we're all about, is just reaching out to other people and sharing the fun with them and having a two-way dialogue with them. Because while we can't talk to our listeners on the show, we certainly love to receive feedback. And actually, we've received a couple of emails from time to time. And we write back and we get into conversations with people and it's actually a lot of fun. So we love doing that. So why don't we get started by, actually, you know what, let's just start. We are, again, this is our very last casual format episode, so let's cash it up a little bit. Caroline, what's been happening in your world? What's going on?
Let me see. So the kids have just finished school and they're awesome. very excited, finished for the year. And, well, we're getting into the Christmas spirit. I bought a new tree this year because I had a small tree before because the place we were living was very small, so I couldn't fit a large one. But this year I thought, if you're going to do Christmas, do Christmas. So
yeah.
Cyber Monday was good because I bought a new – that's when I bought my tree. I happened to find it half price. So I was very
happy.
On Cyber Monday.
Is there any technology? Is it like, you know, is it echo-powered or, you know?
No, well, it's a light-up tree, so it's got lights.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I go crazy putting up Christmas lights on the tree. It's so frustrating trying to untangle the cords and everything.
Yeah,
so
no.
A light-up tree is a win, I reckon. That's such a good invention.
It's pre-threaded through for you, so it's,
oh,
it's
wow.
done.
Oh, wow.
And it's in three parts because I thought, well, I'm not having a small tree this year. This is a 2 meters 28.
Whoa.
2 meters.
Tree.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oof.
And I bought a light up star. So you've got to have a proper star of Bethlehem on your tree, you know, or a star of David, whichever you like. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful tree. And I bought lots of new baubles and we put them on. And then I had my old lights. And I'm like, what am I going to do with my old lights? So I threaded them all around the lounge room.
Oh,
so
nice.
Now I put the tree on and in the evening it's like disco Christmas party because it's all, we've got the flashing lights on the wall. We've got our beautiful tree lit up. We've got the star lit up. And, and the kids absolutely love it. I mean, obviously I'm, you know, doing it for them mostly.
Cool.
Okay, I do like sparkly lights, but it's mostly for the kids. And
oh, yes, for the children, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've got two small trees growing out the front that I planted earlier in the year, and I've decorated them as well, you know, make it look nice. And, so I've been having fun with that. Finally wrapped all our presents, so we're ready to go.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Lena, how about you? What's been happening in your world?
Well, so far, we're all ready to go, actually, in a sense. All our presents are all sorted out because the majority of our friends and you guys too, and everything, you know, all the guys, everyone's growing up, and it's harder to find things for people.
Yeah.
You know, when they grow older and everything, you know, even though you ask them, what do you want? And the majority of it's all electronics or whatever. That's all good. But we're pretty stable, actually. Oh, that's a good point about that, Caroline, but the Christmas tree. We haven't put our Christmas tree up.
Oh, come on, you guys.
I know. Right. Ours is about 2 meters tall It's funny. It was trying to find presents for each other, and we buy a present each in the middle of the year or during the year.
Yeah.
You know how it is? And he goes, oh, if you bought that, that's for your Christmas or your birthday. And you forget about it and you go, I'll buy another one. That's
nice.
Yeah, lots of
presents.
Yeah. Well, we haven't gone, if we do a Christmas tree, we won't, I'm not going to tease the Italians and the Greeks. The word wog comes in, like a woggy tree. I've seen those trees.
Nothing wrong with those.
Okay, right.
Bernie's sister does one, and it's chockers of direct decorations. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, wow, that tree is still standing with all the tinsel or everything out, and it's people classify it as a woggy tree. You know,
right.
It's so
crammed. Does that include us Maltese? Because, my tree is pretty chockers.
Look, it looks beautiful. I'm just saying it's just huge. And, and the way it's been done, it's beautiful. It's no one. I don't know how long it took him, probably an hour or so to do. And then they'll have to take him an hour and I'll have to take them all off. But it just looks beautiful. I must admit, it does look beautiful. I'm just surprised.
Have you guys set up cribs too? I forgot. I set up my nativity set. Or in Maltese, we call it the Presepio. I put mine up as well. I don't know
You guys put it on the front windowsill because I think that's Bernie's parents do, with lights showing.
Yeah,
in the front
window. You can, but our windowsill is not very. No, it's not able to put it there, and I know the cats are just going to knock it down. So I put it on our kitchen bench because we've got an open plan kitchen, so you can see.
That
cats are very possessive. Yeah, they're like, you don't worship this guy, you worship me. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Especially my youngest boy, he's very cheeky and he just loves to bat things off the table. Like my other cats have been very good in that regard, but this one's naughty. So we stayed over at my sister's house last weekend, and I came home. He just had a party. He was left alone for one night. I just found everything knocked off everything. I'm like, I know who did this.
That sounds like a scene right out. Was it Shrek 2 where he has to go to the land of far, far away? So he gets the other fairy tale characters to, we'll look after your house. And as he's walking out the door, they're all like, freak out.
Yeah,
dance party.
Yeah, that's what my cat did. Lucky I didn't leave the chickens in as well. That would have been.
Oh, no. I've seen what damage they're capable of.
Speaking of chickens, though. Yeah, but you know what? Cool. They decided that they would go nest in the presents yesterday. They're like, settling down in them. I'm like, what are you doing? Get out.
Honestly, yeah, this looks all right. Nothing sacred. That's so cute. That's cool.
This place looks all right. Yeah. So you had your Christmas chickens.
Just sitting in the presents.
Okay. So, are chickens in the 12 days of Christmas? Are they anywhere? Hang on.
Yeah. Oh, no.
There's partridges, pigeons. I'm not sure if chickens are in it, no.
I'm only halfway through my coffee, so I haven't got the brain capacity.
We'll have to Google that, definitely.
Yeah.
And I it's not eggnog. We are not drunk. We just relaxed today.
Actually, we don't even have eggnog in Australia, do
we?
It's not a Christmas tradition, no.
It looks so yummy, though. I want to try it.
Oh, wow.
Mm. If someone's got a good recipe, send it through. I'd love to make one.
I don't know. I feel like in Australia, it's probably the Christmas beer, isn't it? That's more of a.
It's true. Yeah, I wonder if you can make it an ice like a milkshake version of an eggnog. Oh. I don't know if that's like a sacrilege or whatever, but
could
make it like an iced coffee type
thing. Yeah. Oh wow.
When you said that, Caroline, it was like I just heard a million voices crying out into in agony.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Wow. And they all came from the United States.
Anyway.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Lino, just like you, the Saints haven't put up any Christmas trees or decorations or any cribs yet, Caroline, but that will happen. We have been able to put a crib on our front windowsill since we got our windows changed. Like we had to get our windows changed because the window, like this is an old house, so obviously there's a lot of things that need to be fixed up from time to time, but the windowsills were kind of falling apart. If we didn't change them at some point, we were going to have free air conditioning. so we couldn't have that. So anyway, we did get all the windows redone and got some nice double glazed windows out the front, which keep the house a bit cooler in summer and warmer in winter, which is great. And they've got wide windowsills where you can actually put like cribs and everything. Now we haven't got a cat problem, but we do have a child problem. So I don't know how Alexander, he's actually not too bad now with touching things that he shouldn't touch. Like he's still, now it has to, if it's food related, forget it. He'll go for it.
Just don't put a chocolate crib.
Yeah. That's right. Remember not in the Aussie summer. There's no chocolate crib.
It'd be the chocolate
puddle. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we will do that. We'll get the tree up soon enough. I just finished work myself. So we just, as of time of recording, December 11th, yesterday, that was our breakup from work, which was really good. So what was really like awesome was we had an outdoor mass with all of our staff. We actually didn't think that was going to be possible. So even planning for this mass, and it wasn't ideal. It's not what we wanted to do, but because of the COVID restrictions, when we were planning this mass, it was going to be everyone watching live streamed from their office, and none of us were happy with that. But that was all we had. That was the only option we had. So we were going to run a mass in our Berwick campus chapel. We've got a beautiful chapel there. And then live stream it and people could watch from their offices. And that would have just been a bit of a killer, but it was all we could do. Then the restrictions changed a little bit and there was a bit more hope. And it was going to be that because we have a 3-campus school. So the staff at each campus were going to be able to sit in their halls or gymnasiums and watch it live streamed there. Better, still not the best, but then the restrictions changed for us because there's the state government restrictions, but then there's also the diocesan restrictions as well. So we have to, because the diocese has to manage things a little bit differently for us to keep us safe. So they did manage to change the restrictions so we could have mass together as a community, and we were able to have it outdoors, which meant we could have lots of people. So we ended up having it on our basketball courts. We've got like the, I don't know, artificial turf. I don't know what you call it. But anyway, the basketball courts have the artificial turf. It's got a big covering as well. So we were safe from the sun. Yeah. And yeah, we managed to have a mass, and it was beautiful. And what was beautiful about it is that we had everyone together again. Like, we hadn't had all staff together since the start of the year.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've gone from being all gathered together for a mass in January to slowly our community being broken apart by COVID, all the way to the point where, you know, pushed into our homes to teach and being so separated from each other, to slowly being drawn back together again, to having everyone together as a community. So it was it was a little bit emotional for me, but it was a beautiful thing to have a mass that way. Cool. And there was one staff member, because we had staff members giving their input throughout the mass as well, about, you know, just talking about their reflections of the year. One staff member got up and said, this mass, I'm excited because it's the first time I'm receiving Eucharist in a long time.
Wow, yeah.
So that was really touching. Then another thing that happened this week that was really awesome is that my son Damien graduated from primary school.
My goodness me. It's come so fast, Linz.
And he's been the community captain. He's one of the community captains at his school for grade six. And so he read during the, so they couldn't have a mass, but they had a liturgy. So he read during the liturgy, and I didn't know who I was looking at. He's grown so much, you know.
Yes, yeah, that's true, dude. So, that is true. Yeah.
In those photos you sent me, he looked like he was actually a university student and not starting year seven.
He looked so good too
in his suit, like his shirt and tie.
Yeah,
so
tie.
Cute.
I couldn't believe what I was looking at.
Oh, and no.
It's funny because his voice broke a bit earlier than everyone else's, right? So he's got a bit of a manly voice, you know? And it was funny because he got up and spoke, and then there were other boys who spoke, and they're like, "Hey, welcome to our assembly."
They've
still got their little kid squeaky voices, but yeah, anyway, but I was looking at this child, you know, our baby, who's just this, you know, this grown-up young man.
Nephew.
Yeah. Aww. It was beautiful. So that was another emotional thing that happened, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then another kind of cool thing, and I won't say too much about it, Caroline, because you're going to give us the spill on it later, but I'll just hint at, you know, this was an exciting week, the week of recording, because there was the Starship launch. The only reason I'm going to mention it, and again, you can go into more detail later on, is because two of my colleagues, they are rocket nerds. Actually, three now. We've got another guy in now. Our youth minister, we've drawn him in. But we're all rocket nerds now, and we've been watching with anticipation for when, you know, the Starship prototype launch would happen. Yeah. So we gathered in my office. We've got a TV screen in my office. So we gathered in my office to watch the first time it was going to happen. Then it got scrubbed with 1.3 seconds. They were like, So you feel the joy and then the letdown. Then the next day it happened. So I was listening to NASA Space Flight, who are one of the one of the YouTuber groups that that follow everything, and so they had been broadcasting they broadcast from the start of the day in Boca Chica, so they broadcast for like 10 hours straight.
You could
tell there was one guy, you could tell he was on the Red Bulls, because like, oh my god,
wow,
which is hilarious. Yeah, we were laughing about that. Yeah, so we gathered in my office. So again, I was listening in my car, like I was listening as I woke up, on my way to work and everything. I got to school. I had a first aid CPR training session to do as well. Please don't, you know, cross
just
over.
Wait.
So I had to go and do it. Now, the good thing is this year they compressed it into 20-minute sessions because of COVID, because of the indoor gathering sizes.
Gathering size, right, mate.
So they compressed into a 20-minute, they gave us the bare bones, you know, what are the doctor's ABC, what's the compressions,
wow,
everything.
Yeah. So coming back to me now.
Staying alive.
It's worse than staying alive, because we were in there and she goes, oh, you know, you can do it to Baby Shark as well. I'm like,
No,
we had the Star Wars Imperial March on our
That's awesome. Now that I could do CPR too.
I want to put evil into someone's heart when I'm trying to push. Anyway, that's beside the point.
But the thing is, as I was doing the compressions, we did three. We did one on a baby, like an infant dummy. one on a child dummy and one on an adult dummy. But as we were doing the compressions, I was thinking, oh, have I missed the rocket launch? And I'm like, no, stay in the moment, stay in the moment, stay in the moment. You're doing compressions. So save this person's life.
Now.
Yeah. And as I'm doing compressions, I'm looking at my wristwatch to see like how much time there is left. Look at my Apple Watch. Going, oh my gosh, we're going to make it. Like, save this person's life so I can go and watch the rocket launch.
Can you please revive so I can watch the rocket
launch? It's like, can you please wake up? Anyway, there's the, we had to do that, the defibrillator. So you got the portable one.
Yes.
And oh my gosh, this machine, if they want you to laugh during trying to resuscitate someone, this is the one to do. I don't know if you guys have used it, but
I have. Yeah.
You turn it on and it goes, place the pads on the shoulders and abdomen. Yeah. It's got that voice. So you put them on and then it's like, stand clear. Checking pulse. Then it's like, beep, 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 stand clear.
Yeah.
It goes, administering shock. It's like, stand clear. And then the worst part is, then it gives you the beat to start. It goes, commence CPR. And one, two, three, they'll do that. And then it goes, administer breaths, and then it becomes a meditation tape, and it goes, breathe, breathe. And I was like, you want me to take this seriously? And it's like, it's like this, like old English gentleman kind of voice. It's like, commence CPR. It's
like, this is like Siri or Alexa. Oh, wow.
It's worse, yeah.
Oh, well, worse. Okay. I'd rather have Siri or Alexa.
At least they
have
robotic voices. I don't know. Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if the guy they pre-recorded doing this, if he was like, if he could give it a straight face while he's going, breathe.
Oh, I had a great time.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, wow.
Yes. So that's my world. Anyway, I managed to run to the office with 10 minutes to spare. And one of my colleagues is a systems engineer teacher. And he was quite emotional as the whole thing went up and came back down again. And we were shouting, I was going, oh my gosh, it's off the pad.
Leave this excitement for later.
Okay, but I can't contain it. But it was. Anyway, I'll come back to the excitement later on. We can all get excited. All right. So why don't we talk about, why don't we get, again, like last time, why don't we give the people some content that they need?
I don't know. If you've hung on till now, you're doing great.
You're doing
for
awesome.
The three people that are still listening, thanks for hanging
Thank
on.
Thank you.
You're about to get some content, some useful content now. all right. So for the three of us, this is kind of exciting, actually. If you remember, those who are listening, and I forget which episode number it was now. It was in the 40s.
Yeah.
But we had Father 42. Don, possibly, yeah. But we had Father Don Calloway as a guest on the show, and we interviewed him. All about his book on St. Joseph and consecration to St. Joseph. And he was telling us why it's such an important thing. He told us a few things, things that we should, some facts about St. Joseph from the Catholic perspective. And then we talked about how he had written a letter to Pope Francis and he'd had it translated into Italian, I think, or Argentinian, one or the other.
Argentinian.
Asking Pope Francis for a year of St. Joseph. So there were certain dioceses around America and around the world who had already gone ahead and done it based on Father Calloway's book. And he was hoping that Pope Francis would just declare one for the whole church. Now, I don't know if how much influence Father Calloway's letter had. I can't fill in the blanks here what happened. However, Pope Francis has declared a year of St. Joseph, which started on December 8th this year and goes to December 8th next year. So congratulations to Father Calloway for however much influence or indirect influence. I'm sure, I wrote him an email to congratulate him and he's like, yes, thank you, God bless. So he's clearly excited. So
he's very excited. Awesome.
Wow. Yeah,
I saw he did a Facebook Live thing as well. I was watching that, and he was really happy and excited about it.
Yeah. So I'm sure that this is a great thing for him. He was saying that there's a lot of graces for the church in having a dedication to St. Joseph.
Exactly.
And we're approaching Christmas. Great time to be thinking about St. Joseph as
definitely.
Well.
Definitely.
Maybe this Christmas is a good time to have a bit more of a dedication to St. Joseph, a bit more of a reflection on St. Joseph and what his role in supporting the Holy Family, was and what it means for all of us. Whether it's, some people talk about him being a saint for men and for dads, which is great, but, again, a saint for all of us as well, because, we all belong to families. We all look at Jesus as our Savior as he did, and there's some beautiful things for us to reflect on there. I might just very quickly go through an article which I'll share with our community. It was on the Vatican News website. There's hundreds of articles you can read, so depends what you want. But they did a summary of Pope Francis's letter, and I'll just go through some of the key points. I won't go through everything. but just some of the key points that Pope Francis made in declaring a year of St. Joseph for all of us. So he said in the letter, now it's called Patris Cordae, and I'm sorry if I've really hacked that up, but for those of us who are English speakers, the title is With a Father's Heart. And so this letter marks the 150th year of the anniversary of Blessed Pope Pius IX's declaration of St. Joseph as the patron of the universal church. So in this 150-year anniversary, we now have the year of St. Joseph for our Catholic Church, which goes through to 2021. I should mention, by the way, that it began on the feast of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, which is why December 8th, and we'll go through to that same feast day next year. So he talked about St. Joseph as a beloved, tender, and obedient father. And he said St. Joseph concretely expressed his fatherhood by making an offering of himself in love, a love placed at the service of the Messiah who was growing to maturity in his home. So the first thing, I guess, is that, you know, he talked about fatherhood being an act of love. He was saying you don't just become a dad because you have a child. You don't just become a parent because you have a child. You become a dad because you accept responsibility for that child as well. Yeah, which I thought was a beautiful observation there. He also said that St. Joseph, welcomes the will of God. So he said at the time, Joseph is an accepting father because he accepted Mary unconditionally as an important gesture today. He said, where in our world, where psychological and verbal and physical violence towards women is so evident, and he's giving the tenderness of St. Joseph as an example and as an antidote to those kinds of issues. What I do love is that he took a lot of modern issues from our world and said, St. Joseph, look at the example of St. Joseph, you know, how much better we can do. So I thought that was a really helpful reflection there. He said that he was a creatively courageous father, an example of love. He says, the carpenter of Nazareth was able to turn a problem into a possibility by trusting in divine providence. He had to deal with the concrete problems his family faced, problems faced by other families in the world, and especially those of migrants. So he talked about political persecution, the issue of not being welcome in your own land. St. Joseph, you know, the Holy Family had to flee to Egypt because of Herod's edict to kill the firstborn child, you know, which is a reflection on the Moses story as well. So this jealousy of a king who can't handle that someone greater than them has been born into the world. And we see earthly kings trying to usurp a divine king. So again, more reflection for us there. It's full of richness. I'll just share one more reflection and then we can have a bit of a talk about it. But he said, a father who teaches the value, dignity, and joy of work. And I really love this. There were two things he said here. One, and I'm just going to paraphrase. He said, first of all, that our work that we do, all of us in our employment, our work is dignified. Our work is important. And so therefore, it's important to respect the dignity of the people who work for you if you're an employer. And, you know, this isn't some crazy union rant that I'm making or anything like that. So don't worry. Oh, God. Yeah. So, but what I'm saying is that people come looking for work, not just to make money, but, you know, usually to support someone else. That now they might be supporting their own needs, but in a lot of cases, people who work are trying to support families. And therefore, there's the dignity of work and the dignity of the worker to respect as well. And he said in St. Joseph, we can find this because St. Joseph not just worked, obviously, to support his family, the Holy Family, but his work had a greater purpose than that, and that was to produce goods. Our work does that as well. Not only do we support families, but our work supports other people who receive the goods that we produce. So, you know, that's correct. In education. Caroline, you work in science. Lena, you work in electronics and technology. You know, this all serves humanity in some kind of way. So the work that we do touches the lives of other people. It's a really important thing.
That's correct.
Therefore, he says, you know, we should look after our workers. That's essentially the runaround there. And there's a whole lot more. And he encourages us to pray daily to St. Joseph. So people in the Melbourne Archdiocese, there's already a prayer. Archbishop Commensoli released it. Run with it. Archbishop Commensoli on Twitter was happy as well. He said, you know, we dedicated the Diocese of St. Joseph for the COVID pandemic. So awesome. But there is I'll just finish by reading this prayer that Pope Francis added to his letter. And then we'll have a quick discussion about St. Joseph. So the prayer goes, Hail, Guardian of the Redeemer. spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To you God entrusted his only Son. In you Mary placed her trust. With you Christ became man. Blessed Joseph, to us too, show yourself a father and guide us in the path of life. Obtain for us grace, mercy, and courage, and defend us from every evil. Amen.
Amen.
Which is quite beautiful. Mm. Caroline, your thoughts, reflections, we're heading to Christmas, St. Joseph, where, Father Calloway, wherever you want to go with this, what do you think?
After we, you know, first we researched consecration to St. Joseph and found out some more information about him and, you know, some different angles that maybe we hadn't thought about before. Mm. And after speaking to Father Calloway on the podcast, I mean, I personally have a greater appreciation for St. Joseph. I mean, I guess, you know, being Maltese, he was always important, you know, he was never left out. But, and, you know, even in our own church, we have a statue to St. Joseph. He's been there. But I don't think we ever got to thinking about him in a deeper way as now. Personally, I mean, as a woman, as a mother, as a daughter, you know, sister, it gives you more of an appreciation of what a kind of perfect male role model he is, and like how important as a woman it is to have good strong men in your life, like obviously starting with my husband, who thank God he's an excellent husband and he supports me in every way. He's a very good man, so he has many of the qualities of Saint Joseph. And it just makes me appreciate my husband and Saint Joseph more, you know, when you've got a good man in your life. And, you know, you, Lindsay, my brother, and Paul, I have excellent brothers, I have to say, you know, and my male friends.
Checks in the mail, Caroline.
You know, no, but like such as yourself, Lino, you're a good man as well, you know.
Absolutely.
I tried to be, Caroline.
No, you are. Like, so I appreciate the men in my life more, you know, just because I can see what, I guess the good qualities of St. Joseph have, I can recognize them more in the men in my life. And also I want to instill those kind of qualities in my sons as they grow up, you know. And, you know, I just reflect too on how poor Mary, you know, as a young woman found herself pregnant, unmarried, you know, or she was betrothed. But what a situation to be in. Like, who's going to, I mean, I don't know how many people would have believed. No, it wasn't a man. It was God. You know, it's God. I'm having God's child, Jesus, you know, and St. Joseph having to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to look after this woman. We're going to have this family and I'm going to protect her and my son. And, you know, I'm going to do everything for them. And he just laid his life down for them, you know, especially at this time of Advent and Christmas, you know, it's just all coming to, you know, a nice bow is being tied with, you know, with this year of St. Joseph being declared. So I just think it's a pretty cool time, pretty exciting time. And his father, I've just promoted him to saint, but as Father Calloway
said. Don't rush it. Oh.
Yeah. I mean,
Pope Francis.
You know, his conversion story itself is amazing, but,
cool.
You know, just it all tying up and, it's just it's a good reflection, a good reflection to have at this time of the year. So, I guess those are my thoughts.
Can I add to that, Caroline? Because you're right. I mean, Father Calloway's conversion story is incredible, and that there's no word less than that I could use. But he found Saint Joseph through Mary. His conversion started because of Mary. Remember, he found this woman in a booklet, you know, a picture
because
of this,
he identified
painting,
with
you know?
Women. That's right. Yeah. He loved women. And what was the most perfect woman to come into his life other than Our Lady?
Yeah. Right. So, and then he found Joseph through her, which is an amazing grace as well, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. Yeah. Lino, any reflections on Saint Joseph as we head towards Christmas time?
As you know, Lindsay, I used his name for my confirmation.
Yeah.
For Saint Joseph, and same as you, Lindsay, and I think
It's funny, our initials are the same now. So it's very bright. So well, it's all good. It's all good.
No competition. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I've got Josephine in my middle name. So.
That's true. Oh, wow. Here we go.
Great.
Josephine podcast. There you go.
It is.
Oh, sounds beautiful. Just reflecting about that when Caroline was saying and you guys saying it's wow, this year has been a big struggle and with St. Joseph being in the center of Advent and everything like that, that's odd. I can't say much. I'm just wow. Yeah, I'm still processing what you guys are saying. Another I have a lot to say. It's just I'm trying to say slowly. It's so good. It makes so much sense. You know, and thinking back, St. Joseph and being the father figure to Jesus. You know, you think back in those times, and the struggles they had to go through, the just being family through all those years. Hey,
yeah.
I'm just thinking back, and also what Caroline was saying about when Mary found out that she was pregnant, and then trying to put yourself in St. Joseph's position. Hey, you can imagine that. Imagine they go, oh, my wife's pregnant and it's not my child and things like that. But I'm not going to go into that sort of borderline with what's going on in the modern world with that, you know. And we men have to take a step and say, look, even though, wow, okay, probably not going too far into it, but, you know, it's not our child, but then yeah, it's our responsibility to be that father figure and help that woman and help that person.
It's amazing, isn't it, that you know, there are so many ways, just like you've done, just Lino, just like you've done, Caroline, there are so many ways that we can read into Saint Joseph, in fact the Holy Family, and find something in there that gives us meaning. You know, Lino, listening to you working your way, processing through all that and you know, coming to that conclusion, you know, how many people could take their life situation and say, where am I in the Holy Family?
Exactly.
You know, did I share some difficulties that they had? Did I, you know, have I suffered being misunderstood? Have I, have I found it difficult at work? You know, felt like my work hasn't been respected and dignified. There are just so many, you know, am I fleeing another country? You know, like so many people around the world with different perspectives. We can take comfort in the Holy Family, I think.
Exactly. Yeah.
And not for comfort's sake, but for if Jesus is God understanding what our lives is like because he became one of us, it doesn't start, you know, God understanding our lives doesn't start with Jesus. It starts with God. And the Holy Family is this example before Jesus is even born.
Exactly.
Mary says yes, you know, to this crazy proposition in a sense, you know, hey, you're going to be the mother of God. You know, you're going to be the mother of Emmanuel. The word means God with us. You're going to be the mother of the presence of God in this world, you know, in his earthly life. That in itself is an amazing proposition. So she gives that fiat, that yes. And Joseph comes around and supports that yes.
Exactly.
Which is extraordinary. You know, you've really got to think about how, you know, like the guy said, yeah, I'm going, you know, he said yes to her. Yes. Which is just an amazing thing. So, is there anything else we want to say or do we want to go on from there? I think let's sort of translate this into another Christmas topic. We wanted to just talk about some things that we're using to get ourselves into a Christmassy mood. So Caroline, any music, songs, hymns? We did movies last year, so let's go with music. this Advent, is there anything music-wise that you're listening to that gets you ready for Christmas?
Okay, so I probably stole everyone's favorite thing, but I recently heard, so Father Rob Galea, who we are all big fans of on this show.
Was a guest on the show once, yep.
Yes. So not only is he an amazing priest, but he's a talented musician and singer. And so, you know, he's got many, many beautiful songs that he's written. Now, he's recently released a cover of Oh Holy Night, which
great
is,
song.
I think, most people love that carol.
Yeah.
And he's teamed up with Anna Gabriela, who's she sings her part in Spanish. So,
oh, wow.
It's just a beautiful cover. Yeah, it's amazing. We heard it last weekend, and I've just kept playing it and belting out my amazing voice to it with my kids. I've just loved listening to that song. So beautiful. Put it on with our lights and just get into the beautiful spirit.
Sweet.
Oh, and good choice. Even if Father Rob hadn't done a rendition of it, just a beautiful hymn. I remember
last year,
Damien had a great, because I'm able to go to these because Damien has 1 week of school more than I do.
Oh, yeah.
And at his grade five Christmas assembly, one of the music teachers sung it. This woman, she should be on Carols by Candlelight. She belted it out, but she wasn't performing it. She was she was praying it. And I was sitting in the back row. I was looking at Isabel, and I'm like, I'm not crying, you're crying. You know what I mean?
Very emotional song. Once you get into it, I get shivers as well when I sing this song too.
Exactly.
Because it's just so soulful and the lyrics and everything, it's just beautiful. Beautiful.
Wow.
What I love about that hymn is that that Christmas sometimes, and I've been thinking about this a lot this year as well in my reflections on during Advent, is that there's that rejoicing of the birth of Christ into the world. And that rejoicing, like, we can't underestimate how important that rejoicing, that joyfulness is. Like, so for us at the time of recording, this Sunday is the third, it's the third sign of Advent,
third Sunday.
Of joy.
Third Sunday of Advent.
So joy is the candle's being lit. But what I'm thinking about is, That name, you know, you shall call him Emmanuel, it means God with us. I was saying this before. That is a really powerful phrase, God with us. It reminds us. So we've got God with us in Christ, you know, who, as he walked on the earth and was literally God with us with those people there. And then we've got this post-resurrection Jesus who ascended to heaven, and the ascension wasn't just Jesus returning to heaven, you know, in a magic elevator and saying goodbye, I'll see you next time. But it's Jesus's ascension is that his presence became everywhere. It's a reminder, it's all over the earth, God with us. That doesn't stop. And so we have this feast every year to remember God is with us. That, you know, that it's a title, it's a name. You know, it's not just a theory or a point, you know. One of the titles of Jesus is God with us. What a reminder. What a beautiful reminder for us. So I love that song. Yeah. You know, that fall on your knees, hear the angels calling. Why are the angels rejoicing? Because God is with us. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You could do a whole thing on that.
Oh, forever. Yeah, could rant about it for ages. Yeah. Any other Christmas songs, Caroline, or are you happy with that one?
I mean, it's just up there with, you know, Silent Night and, you know, other beautiful Hark the Heralds. I just love all of those traditional hymns, you know. So, you know, we have Carols by Candlelight that comes on Christmas Eve on TV, and I just love singing along with the TV. And, you know, no one hears me, so I don't mind. It's fun.
Just the cats.
The chickens might join in. Actually, one of my cats, when I sing, she comes up to my mouth. She's like, what's that noise coming out of you?
But, Caroline, if you sing and then your cats and your chickens go and sit around the nativity scene, you've won Christmas this year.
I think so, darling. Yeah, you get an audience. Yeah. Caroline has an audience.
Yeah.
I've got actual nativity scene in my house. Yeah,
yeah, just with the animals.
My kids are grown up a bit, but yeah.
All right, Lito, what about you? Any particular Christmas music that you're listening to, or that you or songs that are working for you this year?
Yeah, I like the intro. I don't mind that one. That song, that was pretty cool. I don't I like majority of it's all just carols for me. Yeah. I don't mind the other ones. Like, you know, Rudolph, Rendo's Reindeer. and all those other ones, you know, I don't mind them.
They're all the fun ones, know? Yeah.
Yes, true, fun, that's true. Yeah.
I like the place.
It's true. I like mostly the, what the hell they call it, the crooners, like the Frank Sinatra's.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And all those guys. And Michael Bublé. I mean, Bublé. Sorry. Michael Bublé.
Yeah, have you seen that meme every year where it's there's Michael Bublé, like, you know, crooning, like standing outside of a cave? It's like, must be Christmas because Michael Bublé is coming out again.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it comes out like someone will post it on Facebook. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, I'm sure they exactly. Will.
Yeah, and look, I like more of the traditional carols, like Caroline is there, and especially when it's sung at mass and also on. What is it? Carols by Candlelight on TV.
Yeah.
You know, well, especially the more that's how do you say it, the opera singers or the sopranos?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that one? And...
What's her name? Oh, no, I forgot. But we've got Australian opera singer. Yes. She comes on
Marina
every
Pryor?
Year. Marina Pryor.
Because she comes on every year. So, yeah.
Everybody looks forward to when she
sings. Marina Pryor. Yeah. She's a queen of
she is. Australian opera. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But majority of that, majority is, well, the traditional music. But, yeah, we sometimes put, like I said, other carols and Christmas songs. And it's just sometimes, like to say the Sinatras and the Bublés and maybe occasional Mariah Carey. But anyway,
I was going to ask. I didn't want to, but you said it now.
Why did you go there? Sorry.
I'm sorry, Lizzie. I just had to let you know that every time we go to the shopping centre, album. And
all
thinking,
I want for Christmas. Isn't
all
it?
I want
That's
for
the
Christmas.
One she always,
can I?
Yeah,
you know what? I worked at Big W. Retail chain.
Keep on saying it, Liz. I know. I understand.
I'm going to tell this story to everyone else. One summer after high school, all summer, as I worked in there in the lead up to Christmas, every single day in the store, that song popped up, and now. When people say the Mariah Carey Christmas albums, I just I want to go to hospital. You know what I mean? I just can't. I can't do it.
Voluntary checking. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
oh.
we've gone from Christmas songs that help us get ready for Christmas to cringy carols. Yeah.
Better move on.
Sorry. Yeah.
Lindsay, what's yours? Did you?
I have one. So now people might scream at me for saying this, but hear me out for a second. Hear me out, all right?
Okay.
I actually enjoy Christmas carols, traditional Christmas carols that have a bit of a modern spin on them, and when it's done respectfully, not like a rock band going Partridge in a Pear Tree, nothing like that. But, you know what I mean? But I'm talking about like there's one I don't know why, but every time I hear it, it just gives me the shivers. There's O Come Emmanuel by a band called Folk Angel, and it's this modern take, and there's barely any singing in it, which is really strange. They'll sing a verse. They'll just be like harmony, you know, harmonic, like singing, like humming more music. Then they'll just belt
like
out the
acapella.
Not acapella, it's with music. Like
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Then they'll just belt out the chorus when you're not expecting it. But for me, they just captured that rejoicing. I've been listening to that a lot, and I love
it. You have to send me a link, Lindsay.
Yeah, I'll put a reminder to put it in the show notes. Look, I'm just typing. Everyone can hear the clacking of my keyboard right now.
It's a mechanical keyboard.
Oh, holy, no. That's because they say in podcasting people shouldn't hear you typing on the keyboard, so I've just said it so people know that they can hear it. Yeah,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's all right. And I wrote Folk Angle. Whoops. Anyway, I'll fix that later. That always
it's
happens.
A different kind of band.
Yeah, but I actually really like that song, and I don't know, like some people might actually like, Lindsay, what are you listening to? But it just hits the spot, you know? And I love when there's a modern take on a Christmas carol that's done to carry the message, to get the message, to enhance the message, not just for the sake of chucking it to guitar and drums, you know, like if it's just for the sake of whatever. But when But I like, but I also love the traditional, you know, choir singing, that all of that too. Yeah. So on Christmas night, I love carols by candlelight when they do, you know, like the Great Alleluia.
They belt it out. They always do it so well, don't they?
Got that again? That rejoicing. I don't know if they know what they're singing because it's a secular TV show, but they sing it beautifully. And for me, that song really is. Here's God breaking reality and entering our history, you know? God putting his mark on history. So, yeah, there are some great ones. Yeah, so to our listening community, what are your... Now, if it's Mariah Carey's Christmas album, all right, you know, you can have your guilty pleasure. That's fine, all right? You know, if it's... Oh, you know which song? Maybe people might get cranky with this, but you know, Last Christmas, I cannot stand that song.
Oh, no.
I can't... Oh, no. My gosh.
Sorry. Yeah,
I just can't... I can't
just
do it.
Just because it mentions Christmas.
I can't do it. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to throw in one more quick one.
Go for it. Redeem this segment, please.
Oh. I'm going to add a little cuteness factor for you. When my son, Frankie, sings Feliz Navidad, he loves to sing Feliz Navidad because they practiced it all year, not all year, but for some of the year for the Christmas carols at school last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, they couldn't do it this year, but because of the COVID, but I still remember
this was the best. Yeah,
his class on stage. He happened to be near the microphone. So what did he do? He took over.
Yes,
and he stood forward and he was belting out. I was dying in the audience.
He was right next to the microphone. Yes,
Feliz Navidad. Dancing. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Actually, can you put a clip of that video on our Facebook page for
I'll have to find it in my phone from last year. Yes,
we'll see if we can. Hopefully, we can pop that in. But that was the best.
And he was having so much fun. I was so proud of him too because you know he was just out there enjoying himself. And
that was a scene out of a Christmas movie. You know what I mean? That was that was awesome.
It was hilarious.
I love it.
Wow.
We'll have to share that on our Facebook page, Caroline, for everyone to see it.
It's super cute.
Yeah. Right after this episode comes out, we'll see if we can pop it up. So you've got a couple of weeks to find it, Caroline.
Yes. No, I'll find it. No pressure. I'm sure I'll find it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, and our listening community. So, again, it'll be a few days before Christmas, but do you have any Christmas carol recommendations for the Catholics of Oz? Just send us your links, you know, to YouTube songs, send us your Spotify playlist, whatever you've got. Redeem us, you know, save us from some of the terrible choices we've made, and please applaud us for the good choices we've made too. But
I think we made some good choices.
But to distill this into an honest question, what is working for you as you prepare your heart for Christmas, as you prepare your heart for Emmanuel, God with us? What are you listening to that gets you there? So and send it to us, because to be honest, I could use a lot more really good choices. So please share. All right, let's move on. So, Caroline, we're going to have to speed through this one a little bit. However,
no worries.
Again, in my notes, I've just written space news. Hit us up with some really
space news.
Yeah, that's right. Coming to you now from the Catholics of Oz. Give us some. There's some pretty exciting stuff that's happened, as we alluded to before. What's the space news, Caroline?
All right, so I will go through them. So, so we talked about the Hayabusa 2 mission from JAXA last week, and we mentioned the last podcast, and we mentioned that that Hayabusa was passing Earth and about to drop its capsule of sample that it's dug up from Ryugu, the asteroid that they went and sampled, and this was successful. The capsule came through, landed down in South Australia, and JAXA have picked it up, and currently they have sent it off and they're going to start sampling it. So they didn't want to open it up there, obviously, because they want to sample the gas as well as everything else.
Yep.
And so they're expecting to find some carbon-based molecules. They want to discover more about the beginnings of life and our solar system, and they also have an idea that perhaps it's not doesn't have as much water as they may have first expected. I read that the OSIRIS-REx mission from the asteroid Bennu probably has more water on it. So NASA and JAXA are going to be swapping samples, and they're going to be comparing and doing extensive study like that. So I thought that was very interesting.
That is very cool. Yes.
Yes. And that, it came through on December the 7th, so that was very recent for us.
And love the Australian connection that it, you know, landed here in Australia, which is very cool too.
That's it. Yeah. So, and the second one is, I think I'll leave the obvious to the end because we probably want to talk about it a bit.
Yeah.
But this one's pretty, pretty awesome as well. So we are going to have a beautiful Christmas star this year.
Yeah.
As per the Bible.
as referenced in scripture.
That's right. So on December the 21st, there's going to be a beautiful conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn. Now, we've mentioned between Jupiter and Venus before. This one's Jupiter and Saturn. And this particular conjunction doesn't happen for it. The last one happened 800 years ago. Now, Jupiter and Saturn do have conjunctions every, I think it was 20 years ago, then. But this one is special because it's very, like, the planets will appear very close. They're only 1 degree apart in the sky.
And
they're going to appear to be like one big star.
Awesome.
Now, Jupiter is very bright in the evening. Evening sky as it is, and Saturn is bright but not as bright, but when you add them together it's going to be an amazing sight. So December 21st, just look up in the sky and you'll, if it's an evening, a clear evening, you'll definitely be able
to see it for us.
I'm hoping there's not going to be cloud, and I'm hoping I've got this terrible tree in my backyard that I may have to drag my telescope to the front yard and then hope no one tries to come and steal it later.
Caroline, we can always hire a what's it called, chainsaw.
If you guys want to come and trim this tree for me, I'll be so grateful. just need to cut down one side of it. I'm hoping to get my scope onto it. I don't know how successful I'll be, but anyway, in any case, you'll be able to see it with the naked eye. Get a binoculars onto it as well. You'll be able to see something that way as well. Cool. So that is going to be a beautiful end to a very difficult year. I think is going to something to brighten everybody's year up.
Yes, literally.
And to say congratulations, you've got through it. You know, give us a bit of hope and you know, to keep going on with this beautiful sign that God's giving us this year. Through science. So
I've been seeing that they're heading towards each other, which is really cool. And you could see them in the night sky.
Yes.
And I was saying,
you can see them quite close at the moment. Yeah.
I was saying to my family when we got home from my in-law's house, it was about 10 o'clock at night. I said, look, just hit my keyboard. I said, look, they're going to kiss soon. We're going to see them kissing. Like, they're going to join up, which is really, they're going to join up.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah, so can't wait to see that and not knock my keyboard over. Sorry about that, everyone.
You are super excited. You have every reason to.
Very excited.
Yes. I'm talking with my hands on a podcast. Yeah.
That's okay. That's natural. For us, it's natural.
Speaking
anyway,
of excitement, Caroline.
Okay,
let's do
so this is the one you've been waiting for and you couldn't hold on earlier on. But okay, so what did we watch this week?
Oh, yeah.
So we watched the successful launch and flight, not sure about the success of the landing, but of the SN8 Starship fly. So we watched it take off. We did a maneuver. It flew horizontally for a bit and then flipped down and landed back down. It landed where it was supposed to do, but when it landed, I could see it coming. Okay. It was going down way too fast. And then, I was in shock. It just completely disintegrated. It was a big fireball, completely disintegrated.
Yeah.
The nose cone was still there. I think Dom on the chat was joking that his child said it was made out of Beskar because it was so strong. Which,
that was great.
So funny.
Yeah.
Because we did have a running chat on the SQPN Slack channel. I am still amazed. I watched it over and over again. I couldn't get enough.
Yes.
I did notice that it was I don't know, it flew quite well, but I felt like it was very slow and struggling. Mm. Oh, it was slow. One of the engines didn't seem to work during the flight.
That's probably why.
It seemed to cut out.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they just didn't have the control. And there was this green flame. I'm not sure if something was burning that wasn't supposed to burn.
Well, I can explain. I can explain that. But go on. So I'll say something about it in a second. Yeah.
Yes, I'll let you fill in that part. But
well, I can't explain it. I can just tell you what others said about it. I have no idea.
I didn't hear any commentary. I have to say, I was just watching the SpaceX channel that just had the SpaceX. Well, it wasn't commentary. They were just talking about.
Yeah.
Well, they were just going through the motions, really. But yeah, so this thing flew up. Oh my gosh, seeing this retro tin can fly.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
It was just amazing. It's so. Oh my gosh, I just still can't believe what I was seeing. And then seeing it fly horizontally with its like its little winglets, yes. or I'm not you know the proper terminology. Yeah. And then seeing it flip down and go down, I was like, oh my gosh. I was just on tenterhooks the whole time. Yeah. I just couldn't believe it. And then when it blew up, I was like, what just happened? Was that supposed to? I don't know if that was supposed. It's like, oh no! But they seem to think it. Well, it was successful because they got a lot of. They got a flight out of it. They got it to land back to where it originated. And
that's right. Yeah.
All the data they've collected from that flight.
That's
too.
Right. Yeah, and they're like, oh well, SN9's coming up next.
Get ready for SN9. Yeah,
exactly. SN9. Yeah. So, wow. I just have wow to say about it. To be honest. What a thing to watch. And I think we were rewarded after, you know, the false start the first time and then
heartbreaking.
It was just postponed. And then, not luckily really, but I was feeling unwell that day. So I took the day off work and I just sat in bed and watched it. Yeah, it was kind of good timing. So it was, made me feel a bit better.
So basically, it got to A and B. And that's all cool. So they were able to figure out, A's all cool, B's all cool.
Yeah.
Now C is into space. Is that correct? Or is it?
Well, I think they've got a bit of a way to go.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, they're getting there. They're getting there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's just step by step.
This is just the second stage spaceship part of it. Like, it needs to be attached to the. They've got a super heavy booster in development, and that thing is gonna blow up windows if it's too close to. Like, I don't know if they'll be able to launch it from Boca Chica because they had to actually evacuate the town close by. Now it's not a big population anyway, but they had to evacuate the town just for this one in case anything.
Well,
went
lucky
wrong,
they did, to be honest, because I mean that explosion was massive.
Goodness me!
It was a big fireball. I don't even know if they expected it to be that big.
I think anything could have happened, really. I mean, they would have been expecting, I guess.
I mean, just the fact that it flew successfully and, you know, stayed in the air and nothing happened in the air and then when it landed,
well,
it flew up. I mean, that was good enough. So.
Exactly.
But yes, Lindsay, you may go.
Just getting back to unleash the hounds, you know. but what was it? Release the Kraken.
Starship Kraken. There we go.
But getting back, USS Kraken.
Wow. Sorry, guys.
No, it's good. So getting back to where to the excitement in my office. So yes, I ran back after first aid. Still had 10 minutes to go. We were literally, the three of us in my office at the time, we had our hands around each other's shoulders. We were standing shoulder to shoulder, watching, going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Socially distanced, I just mentioned that. But, you know, we've got long arms.
Yeah. Anyway, so shoulder. 1.5
meters.
Like, oh my gosh. And then they go 3, 2, 1, and we're waiting for another hold or something to happen. Actually, there was a hold the first time because there was either
there
a
was.
Boat or a plane. And we're like, who flies a plane or a roof drives a boat, you know, on the day of launch. Anyway, so then they redid it. They managed to get it ready. And we're like, oh my gosh, the engine's lit. The engine's lit. It's like, it's moving. It's rising up. So we were shouting in my office. And I don't know how there wasn't anyone walking by at the moment wondering if someone's getting murdered in my office. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because we were screaming and jumping up and down. Like, this was, you should have seen our office was like Christmas morning. You know what I mean? We were shouting like crazy. And then and you know, because we'd watched what the plan was and we're like, oh okay, it's not flipping. And we saw the engine flame out and we're like, oh, what happened there? Yeah. What happened there?
Yeah.
Apparently the Raptors performed exactly the way that they were supposed to, all the way except at the very end. So that flame out of that second engine, that shutdown, happened on purpose because they were slowing the ascent. So I was looking at Elon Musk's tweets about this. They had to slow the ascent
Wasn't
to a certain
that slow?
Point. Yeah. Well, if you were seeing...
That was what I was about to say, Caroline. Yeah. You were saying, why is it so slow?
Yeah, if you saw when it got to one engine, it was hovering, and they were actually hovering it out over, like I think it was sort of almost over the sea, so they could then do the flip maneuver and fly it back to the pad. So it didn't go straight up and straight back down. It went up. It kind of moved.
It did fly over a bit.
It hovered away, and if you watch NASA Space Flight's perspective, because they use their own cameras, you can see it better.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, watch the flaps now, because they're going to move and we're going to see a flip. Let's see if they do it. And it's like, look, the flaps are moving. And then it did that flip. And it's like, and I was saying, are they going to get horizontal? It's like, oh my gosh, it's horizontal. Look at it. It's like an airplane. It's like we were going ballistic.
It was really cool seeing that.
And then
like
as
a
it
bullet.
Was, yeah, and as it was gliding down, I'm like, this is Star Wars. Look at this. It's like a, it's like the CGI effects you see in The Mandalorian or something, you know, but it's real. And it was completely unreal what we were watching. And then we're like, oh, is the belly flop going to happen? Is the flip maneuver going to happen? And it did. And then that green flame. So what happened was, according to Elon Musk, the header tank, so there's a tank in the very top of the nose cone of the Starship. And that's where the fuel goes into the rockets to reignite them for the landing burn. But apparently they lost pressure in the header tank. And so two engines ignited, but then there was not enough fuel going. So one engine flamed out. So there was only one engine that was ignited.
Yep.
And it was getting mostly oxygen and not enough methane. So that then it became a giant oxygen torch, hence the green flame. So it was too fast and then boom. But the thing is, a lot of sort of like expert commentators didn't think it would get as far as it did. So for them to get to the point where they got to the landing pad is beyond anyone's expectations, and we just got this amazing show. And I might have watched it a couple more times that day. And we were evangelizing.
I was too, don't worry.
Yeah, I felt sorry for anyone that visited our office because we showed it to them. Like one of my friends came in and like, you gotta watch this. So it was spectacular.
I texted my husband after I watched it and I said, you've gotta watch this. And then he just texted me back, yep, that was crazy.
So looking forward to SN9 now. But unfortunately, I was looking this morning. Yeah. Again, this will be a couple of weeks ago by the time people are listening. SN9 did have a bit of a fall in its high bay. It tipped because the landing support under it collapsed. Uh-huh. And it tipped a little bit, but it landed. Ooh. It's resting against the wall of the side bay. And when I was watching, because they
got 10 ready.
It's on its way. 10 is actually on its way. They were already getting equipment to straighten it up, and then they'll check over it. I'm sure it will be okay.
Just have to fly it and blow it up again.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah,
true.
I feel confident that they might problem solve this and actually stick a landing with SN9. I reckon it's entirely possible. So we'll see.
They could. I mean, we'll see. Yesterday, just to contrast, yesterday I watched the Delta Heavy Lift for ULA, which is part of Space Force.
This was the rocket that was on the pad for 8 months because they had too many false starts.
Yes,
yeah,
that's it. It finally took off yesterday. Wow. Yes.
And thankfully it got,
that is a powerful machine. It's a matter of seconds. I felt like a matter of seconds that it was into space. It was just amazing. It's got, they had the three rockets and the two, I mean, you know, two boosters and the rocket. Mm-hmm. And then they did have some camera because I wasn't sure if they were going to show everything happening. But once they got up there, they did show the booster release, and that was, pretty spectacular. Cool. So,
And the Falcon amazing. Heavy, they're the top gun of rockets at the moment. That's the
It's my gosh, I would die if I was watching if I got to watch any of those live.
They're brilliant.
It was pretty amazing to watch. So pretty cool stuff happening this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Did any of you watch the Starship launch? You know, tell us about it. Tell us how excited you got. Or were you like, oh, it's another rocket. Oh, well. just tell me when they get one to space.
This is the
start. Did mention who was going to be on the Artemis flight too this week.
Yes, they announced.
From NASA.
That's right. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So we've got the astronauts set.
Yeah, and the Starliner capsule for them that Boeing is making is going to have a test launch early next year, finally. It's like, it's well overdue.
Exciting.
So,
Boeing.
It's all happening.
Lots of space stuff. How exciting. Yes. All right, so let's see, we got excited, now we're over time. So let's finish off the show. We wanted to just share some listener feedback and also just do a couple of thank yous. So first of all, Sarah, now again, we're not going to go with surnames, but Sarah, you know who you are because we've spoken to you a couple of times this year. And we love speaking to you, and we thank you so much for the things that you know that you've said to us, and the things that the things that you relate to on the show. So please, you know, continue getting in touch with us. You know, as I was saying to you, and as Caroline and I were talking about, I think we consider you a friend of the show because we talk to you
me
so
do.
Often. Yeah. So thanks for your correspondence this year. Sarah had a prayer request, and I just wanted to share that with our listeners. Now, the funeral is actually happening around time of recording, but she asked us all to pray for Kylie, who is the daughter of one of her colleagues at work. Now, Kylie sadly passed away, and so we're just asking for prayers for her. So if we're just asking our listening community, if you could just pray for Kylie, for the soul of Kylie, for her, the repose of her soul, and just for her family as they go through the ups and downs of grief, especially at this time of the year. We'd really appreciate that. And then for anyone else who's lost a loved one, as always, please keep them all in your prayers, and then offer as much comfort as you possibly can. But if you are one of those people, please know you are not alone. We are praying for you, and the Catholic community loves you. And the one great thing about our family is that no matter how far away we are from each other, we have the closest of our prayers that bring us together. So please, just some prayers for Kylie and her family. So, Sarah, thank you for sharing that request. And if anyone has prayer requests, we're happy to share them out on this show as well. Sarah mentioned that this family, Caroline, has chickens, so there's a connection for you there.
Yes.
and also, just in my further correspondence, Sarah was telling me that, she was saying, congratulations on getting your essay done, Lindsay. I spoke about that last time. And she was saying, now go read some fiction. She said that her spiritual director had recommended that after you do some hard work, go read some fiction of some kind. I'm absolutely going to go and find something to read that's not related to study. So just to give the brain a bit of a break. So a couple of thank yous. Firstly, I just want to thank Father Andrew Kinstetter, who's the host and the team from The Secrets of Star Wars, but thank him as the host. He asked me recently to, probably more than recently now, but he asked me to read "'Twas the Night Before Life Day" poem that's at the start of his podcast for their holiday special patrons only episode. So if you're a patron and haven't listened to that, please do. That episode will be released later on for everyone else. But if you hear an Australian accent at the start, it was mine. When I was reading it and recording it for him, I had to try so hard not to laugh because this thing was, especially
it's
this thing about,
good.
Yeah, the vision of the kids going to sleep with visions of lightsabers dancing in their heads. That,
so
yeah,
cute.
That got me.
Yeah.
And it was a great episode. So if you're not listening to the Secrets of Star Wars and you're a Mandalorian fan, their analysis is top notch. These people know more about Star Wars than I could dream of knowing. And I'm really enjoying their show and the analysis that they do of the Mandalorian. Guys, I reckon we should thank Don Bettinelli, don't you think?
Of course,
oh,
yes.
Definitely.
For putting up with us.
Yes. Listening to our recordings, go,
yes.
Oh, gosh,
our
there goes Lena again.
At the beginning
with
the show.
Very high laughing. Oh,
yes.
Here we go.
Dear listeners, what you don't know is that before the show, it takes us a little bit of time to get into the recording because we joke, we get a bit silly, and Dom has to listen to that. I don't know. He has to pour through until he finds, where does the show start so I can start editing? I don't know. I'm just imagining that's you, Dom,
we're
at your computer.
We're rowdy Canadians. What can you say?
Rowdy Canadians.
Yeah. Thank you. Actually, speaking of that, thank you, Dom, for being on our show this year, earlier this year.
Yes.
And hopefully we can have you on next year as a guest again. We had a lot of fun last time doing that. And thank you to the board of SQPN as well for having this little humble, fortnightly Australian podcast on the network. We're so happy to be contributing and sharing with the SQPN audience. Thank you to our listening community. Anyone who is listening, thank you for coming back fortnight after fortnight and listening to our shenanigans. We have been a bit more casual through the pandemic. We'll up our game and actually produce a quality show next year. But thank you for accompanying us. And if we have been able to accompany you, I hope that we've been able to do that and just, help you through this year with our craziness and with our life stories and everything. And if you have any life stories or any experiences you want to share, we, of course, want to read about them and hear about them too. So thank you to all of you. And also, we want to thank our patrons, the patrons of the network. Thank you so much for your contributions and for sticking with SQPN. And if you're praying for the network, we really appreciate that as well. Please keep it in your prayers because that is the grace that keeps us going. Today, we want to thank especially Jonah M., Sean W., Jaslyn T., Jonathan L., and Teresa S. But because of their generous donations at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for this show, the Catholics of Oz, and all of the other shows on StarQuest to continue. If you'd like to join them in giving, you can find the way to do that at sqpn.com/give. Let us know your thoughts about today's episode. This is our last episode for the year, so we plan to be back in late January. So we're going to have a bit of a Christmas break now. So we hope that you have a wonderful Christmas break. And before we do that, if you'd like to stay in touch with us, you can do that through the SQPN Facebook page, which is facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. Or you can join our own Facebook group. We have facebook.com/CatholicsOfOz, spelt Oz, O-Z, I should say, spelt O-Z. And we hope to have a video of Frankie singing Feliz Navidad up there for you.
Yes.
And we'll post some other content in the break just to keep connected with you as well. You can email us, as people have done, and we're grateful for those emails, at catholicsofoz@sqpn.com. So, Caroline, thank you so much for being on the Catholics of Oz all throughout this year and for today.
It's been really fun. Thank you for being a great head host and cool brother and for the nice accolades you give me at the beginning of each episode. And Lino, you're always fun. Thank you for being an awesome host with us. Your content, your perspective is really cool. Really, you know, great. Makes the show for us as well, keeps me and Lindsay in check a little bit.
He's like the referee.
I try sometimes.
Siblings.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't have the whistle, but they'll be so loud on the microphone.
Yes. And yes. It's been really fun. Thanks to SQPN board and to Dom for letting us ramble on the way we do.
And
yes. We hope you find it all entertaining. And thank you to the listeners, and I wish you all a happy and holy Christmas season, and looking forward to creating some more content next year.
Absolutely. And Lino Sabol, yes, thank you so much for being part of the show as well. You bring the laughs, you bring the refereeing, and we're you bring lots of interesting commentary as well. So thanks so much for being on the show with us today and for all the whole year.
Thank you very much, guys. Especially I'd like to thank the SPQN. Oh my goodness,
thank you.
Sorry, Dom. That's it. The end of the year's gone.
That's it. You're out of the family.
You're losing the branding, Lino.
Oh, that's right. I'd like to thank you guys, especially for letting me be part of the family here for the podcast. You know, at the start, I thought to myself, okay, what can I do during this pandemic and to share what I can to the community? And I thought, I'll do a podcast. And then I bought all this stuff and, you know, and of course, I wanted to be in contact with you guys and the community outwards while this pandemic we had. So I'd like to thank you all. And hopefully you all have a great Christmas and a happy new year. And all I can say is bring on 2021, people. This year has been crazy. It has been crazy, especially for Victorians.
Yes.
And take care, everyone on the road, and have a safe and happy holiday, and God bless.
Thank you, Lino. And thank you from me, Lindsay Sant, the host of the show. I can't do a show without the wonderful people that join me at the mics every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's been wonderful. So again, just one more time, thank you to SQPN. Thank you to everyone who listens. While we're away, we are still keeping you in our prayers, and we ask that you do the same. Have a happy, holy, wonderful Christmas. All the best for the new year. Whatever the challenges of 2021 brings to us all, we're going to face them all together. Whether we're in Australia or America or whichever part of the world you're listening, we're going to face them together, and we're going to get through it together as well. So God bless you all. Thank you very much. And you've been listening to episode 47 of the Catholics of Oz on StarQuest. Merry Christmas.